How many of you know that even the concept of father today emotionally is so charged? And when you ask a certain, you know, ask anybody about their relationship with their dad or whatever, it's unpredictable what you'll end up with. Some are on the edge of just incredible amount of pain, feeling of such loss in relationship. Others, maybe through abuse, physically, emotionally, sexually, all kinds of things, whether birth father, some are just a numbness because of an absence, not even there. All this kind of stuff happens. And here we are in the midst of this. But yet, Father God knows that through Jesus came, what did he do? He came to give us a bird's eye view of the Father through who he was. Jesus was the perfect representation of the Father. And as you grow and you become more and more aware of who Jesus is, you begin to discover the heart of the Father. It's real important to us. And I think for the last, at least 25, well, longer than that. I've been a believer over 40 years. Sustained some rather potent damage in early years, and the Lord took me through processes. So I don't know how qualified I am to teach this message today, but I really want to take a shot at it, okay? Because we're all in a journey, aren't we, of being restored. And today's message, the title, I finally came up with it, you know, really work at these things. This is it. Give the gifts the Father gives. Would you say that when we give the gifts the Father gives? You and I can give the gifts the Father gives even if we didn't have a good father or if we had a great father. I want to tell you one thing the Lord said to me one time. I told him, I said, if I'd had a better father, I would be able to go further and do more for you had I had that foundation to launching pad. You know what he said? He actually said this to me. He said, I'll make up the difference. Isn't that just like Father in heaven? I'll make up the difference. I'll cause what you didn't have, the deficiencies. I'll make up the difference. I'll come in and I'll cause the impact that you were meant to have and you think you would have had you had a different life. I'll do it. Someone wants to jump right in. You can give the gifts the Father gives by giving, number one, a supportive presence. Be there. A supportive presence. Be there. I was at the church on the way in my 20s. I think, Heather, I think we were married by that time. I'm not sure. I think we were just newly married. And I'd gotten permission to go and do a rehearsal. I had a band. There are five, a band of brothers, five of us in a band. I had written some songs. We had around the area at that time, there was just different churches that we could go to and drive off and minister. And it was kind of a rock feel. I think my songwriting has improved since then, but we were jamming. And apparently it was a little noisy. We were in a building called the Cornerstone, and I thought we had all the doors closed enough, but we apparently had the sound system really loud. We figured this is how we're going to be doing it wherever we're going. There were apparently a pack of pastors roaming the church campus at the time. And suddenly the door opened and they all came in. And one of them, who's a good friend, but one of them looked like red and like he'd done something extremely wrong. And I was like shaking in my boots and feeling like this righteous reprimand for the misuse of this building somehow, and I was just under it. And I wasn't sure where I stood, but after what was said, a certain pastor, the music pastor I had a relationship with, John, he just stepped up, held up his arms like this, and he gave me a hug, and the reassurance flooded my heart. And then everything was fine. Supportive presence. Jesus encountered the supportive presence of Father God. He was walking to go get baptized in water. And when he went down in the water and he came up, suddenly there was a voice from heaven. We don't even have to talk about what he said right now. The point is, there was a supportive presence watching. Isn't that great? Father God's there. Supportive presence. You and I can give the gifts of a supportive presence by being there for one another. If there's deficiencies in our body life and in your life and in our different areas where we have need of, you and I can step in and be that supportive presence. How many of you want to give the gifts of the Father and be there in the lives of people? I remember when I was 4 years old, I learned how to play. I was in the band at school. I learned how to play the trumpet, for, you know, up through high school. And my dad was in he was an Air Force guy, and he was in the military. He was over flying over in Thailand, and a guy walked into the barracks and had a guitar, and he said, "Hey, where'd you get that?" He says, "Down there at a store." He says, "Here, get me one." He gave him some money. He brought a guitar. My father was thinking in terms of my musical ability. Even though there are bumps, how many of you, there can be ups and downs and bumps and stuff, but there's certain, there was a supportive presence in that he identified my musical gifting and bought a guitar, brought it home, gave it to me. And the rest is history. I learned how to play. The Holy Spirit fell upon me after I got received the Lord. I didn't receive the Lord till 17. The Holy Spirit gave my gifting to God, and then he began to develop this ability. And that's, my father was there thinking in terms of how to be a blessing. We can think in terms of the needs of people and how to support and be there. You know, often it's just, you know, when it comes to that supportive presence, it's not so much you have so much relationship all the time. It's just the fact that the resources there were needed. That's what it's like with Larry Titus. He's a dad in the spirit. He's my spiritual father. And I can call him up any time. Do I? Not that often, but I do. When I'm thinking of through something, walking through something, his phone rings, and he's one of the most incredibly supportive people I've ever met. In fact, the scripture here says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." Even Jesus told his disciples, "Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Father God has a supportive presence in our life. He's there for us. If we, to give the gift of the Father, we want to be there for each other. Makes a big difference. And we reflect his heart when we do that. We reflect the heart of the Lord when we do that. Let's look at the second one. Number two. You can give the gifts of the Father with affirming words. Encourage one another. Encouraging words or affirming words is the most important thing, I think, for children. I didn't receive a lot. I got some support in certain ways. I can remember one of the most powerful moments my dad affirmed me. We were, he was retired from the military, had some property, and he would build these little houses as cottages to rent out. And my brother and I would help. And one of the things we did was to dig these ditches. And it's the sand hills of North Carolina. And you can dig down 2 feet, just sand. It's like real soft dirt. And I had to dig so it wouldn't freeze in the winter, with water lines connecting these houses. I would dig, and I have to go down like a 6 or 8 foot embankment, and to dig into that embankment and have a line right from this house go down the embankment, come to the next one. I'm working away there. It's actually kind of fun, good exercise. Digging out, you pull it easy to, you know, not have to like go through rock or anything. My dad walks up and says, "Wow, you dig a really good ditch." When you haven't heard anything, it's incredible the impact. My brother and I would hear these words. Our aunts, I think it was our great aunts. My brother and I walk into the room and they go, "My, what handsome young men." You know, they're Southerners. "My, what handsome young men." And the seed was planted, affirming words. And I never thought that I wasn't a handsome young man because my aunts told me I was. And I believed it. You believe what you're told, don't you? How many people have... I know beautiful young women and handsome young men who do not feel the truth. Because they weren't told. The word wasn't sown in their heart. Do you realize that you can have a tremendous impact with affirming words? We need to grow in this area. Because to give the gifts that Father gives. You know what he said? Jesus hadn't done a thing yet, and the heavens opened up, and Father God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Let's take a hint. Even on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter and James and John were up at the top of the mount, and the glory of God, this cloud came, you know, came, and apparently it was like a cloud mobile, because Moses and Elijah stepped out of it, and suddenly, because of the long walk up, Peter and James and John have been snoring over there, and their eyes pop up, and they see these three guys, and Peter, just like always, speaks before he actually thinks. And says, "Oh, let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for..." And the moment he says this, Father God says, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." In other words, listen to him. It was amazing that these are affirming words to Jesus, but they're qualifying words for the people around. Have you ever been affirmed in something and it's really uniquely what you are? And it causes you to feel better about it? I know that you, before you started your business, we saw that gift, said, "You need to be doing this." And you can step in and fulfill a gifting. Isn't that true? By somebody calling, affirming the with affirming words, awakening and securing and blessing and launching and prophetically speaking. And that's how it works. Larry Titus told me one time, we were up at the... How many of you guys were with us at the Mentoring Mansion way back? The girls, you and I, yeah, John and Gary and I think a few others. And he pulled me aside and he said, "You have a gift. You talk in pictures." I said, "Really?" It was always important to me, but he says, "You talk where people understand really quick." I said, "I do?" Well, he identified something. I try to, you know, bottom line it down, get it, think in terms of that. Well, I wasn't aware I even did it. But it caused me to want to grow in that area. When you identify an area, you know, it's funny, I'm standing here talking like this, and I look around people and say, there's a prophetic sense in the room. Like you could step in and start identifying gifts and start, you know what I mean? Because the Father's heart is to cause you to be assured of who you are and cause you to rise into that. And it's funny, we have these little doubts, but one little affirming word can bump you over into a real rich. We need to have an affirmation rich culture that represents the heart of the Father for one another. You can give the gifts that the Father gives by speaking affirming words to one another. Let's read this next verse. I got down here. I want to tell you one other thing before I read that verse. How many of you know the Lord loves you? Now, I knew that. I knew that. I knew He loved me. I was certain that He loved me because He had to. Because He's God and He's love. And I knew He had to because He's love. But one day, after praying with somebody who was in deep need, and it was a difficult situation, after that prayer time with that person, I sat down. I was sitting right over there, right where you are, Brandon. And as I sat down, the Lord Jesus said to me, He was representing Father God's heart via the Holy Spirit's power in my heart. He said these words, "I like you." Now, I cried for 3 days and thought about it for 3 weeks, and it changed me deeply, powerfully changed me, because He affirmed that He liked me. Now, I knew He had to love me, but when He said He liked me, that changed me deeply. There was one other time, Heather and I were in, I was getting my hair cut, and we were thinking about how many people were coming to a certain cleansing stream retreat. And usually, you know, just if you want to know this, there's a certain amount of people who anoint the other people and pray for them, And the typical good ratio between how many anointers and how many people coming to be prayed for is about 1 to 6. 6 to 1, I mean. 6 people for 1 person. And we were going to go to another venue, and there was going to be over 12 to 14 people per person. And the ratios were really off. We thought, we do one category, it's going to take us hours. And I'm standing there, and we're sitting there. You remember that? We're talking about this. And the Lord speaks to me. And this is what he says. And by the way, I can remember every single time he spoke to me because it's so impartational. He said these words. It reminds me of when I was on the earth. Now, he was talking about the ratios. He had 4,000. There was 12 of them, or 13 of them. And he was but for him to say to me that something that I was involved in reminded him of what he was doing when he was on the earth, that changed your life. It still affects me deeply to have Jesus say, you know, what you're doing reminds me of what I did when I was on the earth. Oh, God. And we ran into the same ratio problem. And in the midst of that, because we knew it went really well for him, the secondary message was, it's going to be fine. Because I'm going to be there. And it was. Life-changing and powerful. Because God made up the difference. Isn't he the God that makes up the difference? How many of you found out that you can't actually walk for him? He has to do it in and through you, or it really doesn't work at all. You start off, I'm going to work for God. And then you realize, I'm tired of this. It doesn't matter how many monuments you built to your self-determination. They're all going to crumble. It's surrender. It's all about surrender. Walking with him and allowing him to do something in you that you can't do, and then him doing it through you. Amen? Let's look at the next one. Well, before we do, look at that verse. Lord, your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. One of my new songs, on Tuesdays, now school's out, but I would take Evie to school and I'd ride along in the car. This is my I Love Evie song. I love to sing it all day long. You know, singing. She's like, he has a song about loving me. That's the kooky grandpa part. Yes, but. Okay, number 3. Give the gift the Father gives by giving needed strength. Needed strength. You run into times, I run into times, where we have such need. We're so needy. And we need more than we are. Now, I want to go back, this will be real quick, but I want to go back through a passage here. John chapter 12, starting with verse 20 through 33. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. Let's set the context here. It's kind of funny to say it this way, but before John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, there's John 12. And John, those are the times when those 5 chapters, he imparts all this intimate stuff that he's doing with them. There's the washing of their feet, the Lord's Supper, the speaking about the things to come and all the things he wants to impart. Right before that, he said there was some guys coming from some Greeks coming down. And it says, so these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. And he said, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now listen, just everybody pull in here. Philip went and told Andrew. So Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered, listen to this, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now watch where his thinking goes. Now he's thinking in terms of he's going to be dying for the sin, right? This is where his mind is. Walk through this with me. This is really important about the nature of giving strength. Jesus answered and said that, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. If it dies, it bears much fruit. Now he's talking about, I'm called to come and speak to the Jewish people, not the Greeks, but they're going to have the gospel because I'm going to die. And you guys are going to go and you're going to share it with them. That's what he's basically saying there. That nobody can actually receive except the seed goes into the ground and it dies, and then it's going to be multiplied. Then he says these words, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. These are some heavy-duty words. Now watch, Jesus is saying these things, and it's impacting his own mind, his own heart. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And in the midst of this, talking this way, suddenly Jesus has one of those moments. This is a moment not unlike when he's in Gethsemane, saying, if you can cause this cup to pass from me, let it pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This is a kind of a moment like this. Suddenly, Jesus is aware of what he just said and that he's going to be dying he's going to go through a lot of physical suffering. And he says this, verse 27, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? This is the pure, human, innocent Jesus standing there as a man. What should I say? Father, save me for this hour? From this hour? The pure human doubt. Have you ever had a moment when you know you're going to go through something, you wonder, should you? Should I actually? You know, most of us, come on, let's face it, most of us suffer for what we did wrong. Isn't that right? How many of us actually suffer for doing the right thing? And the Lord's calling people to walk with him in these days, that you'll go through what it takes to go through whatever but you'll do it with the Lord, and there's suffering involved. And this is where the whole idea of needed strength comes from. People who've been through it, who know how to say something that caused you to help you go through. And Jesus has a second thought, and it's more the thought to where his own heart understands that this is the Father's will. In other words, the first thought, what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? And the second thought was where divine wisdom and love took over. And he says, but for this purpose, I have come to this hour. So he's settled, right? For this purpose, I've come to this hour. Then he says this, Father, glorify your name. In other words, now watch. How many of you know Father's name was glorified when Jesus taught? When he did miracles, when he raised the dead, right? And suddenly, out of heaven, the Lord speaks. Father God speaks. This is the third time Father God speaks out of heaven. He says this, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. What's that mean? You and I have pretty much set up the whole scene before the ruination of our life, that there's nothing that you and I can do to be saved. And would you just register this? The will of God, say this with me, the will of God is about the glory of God. If you're going to fulfill the will of God, you're going to bring glory to God. It's not about the glory of man, it's about the glory of God. And he says, I have glorified, I've caused glory to come to me through your life. And I'll do it again. In other words, when you go through the suffering, I'm going to cause glory to come again. Because I'm going to raise you up. In other words, in the midst of what man can't do for himself, Jesus is going to receive all the glory for what he can do that we can't do. He's going to take all of that sin that we've committed and put it to the cross and pound it in and cause its powers to be broken over us. God is glorified in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. How many of you go through a little suffering for doing some stuff right? Right? You do, don't you? And you and I can give needed strength when you've gone through something. How many of you, come on now, have you gone through something and there's somebody else going, I don't even know if, how many of you have said this, I don't even know if I'm going to walk with Jesus anymore. How many of you, am I the only one? I don't know if I want to be in the ministry anymore. I don't know if I want to do this. Why? Because it's a spiritual battle, and it's overwhelming to me, and I don't know how to do it very well. And I try, and I'm not sure, and I just end up at the end of myself, and I'm just exhausted and nuts sometimes. And then I take it out on this wonderful woman here, and she looks at me and says, what are you doing? And the next thing you know, she's writing her resignation. Isn't that amazing? And then the needed strength comes. And somehow, we end up with, we're going to let Jesus take this. He's going to do it. He's going to make it happen. The next thing you know, His peace comes. We give each other the gift that the Father gives. When I'm down, Heather speaks to me. She usually does it like this. You can't be down long. You're usually up. I can't handle it. I can be down longer than you, but you can't be down long. So if I'm down, I usually don't say anything, and she could tell anyway. I've had times when she comes in and prophetically speaks her devotions over me. Hey, we all need what? Needed strength. She gives me the gift that Father God gives. He gives needed strength. Because when you're together in a situation, how many of you knew you've been through stuff, you didn't ever think you'd make it through it, and you did? And then somebody else is coming up in a situation and they're going through something, and you know what, you know, you can tell them, look, you're going to make it through this. The Lord asked us as a congregation to do something. Guess what? It's all going to happen, just like you said. Has to do with affecting the city. Has to do with the building. It's all going to happen. 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 And about 20 or 30 or 40 or 100 times of going, I don't know why I'm doing this. I have no idea. Am I nuts? Am I crazy? What did I do? Did I do something wrong? And then the Lord would whisper, no. And you just keep walking, you keep walking, you keep walking, you keep walking, you keep walking, day in, day out, keep walking. And God causes something to begin to happen. And you had nothing to do with it except you didn't back off. You didn't even make it through it. But we're making it through, right? Jesus, let's look at that last verse and then we'll close. And by the way, has this been meaningful? I want us to really embrace this, that there are gifts that Father God gives. We could use a better word, but gifts, I thought it was a great way to say it. Give the gifts that Father gives by being supportive with one another. When everybody else is walking out, you come walking in. You give the gift of support, right? High five, we can do that. Give the gift of affirming words. Let's get better at affirming words. Speaking positive statements to one another. Are you there? Can we do that? Let's celebrate the Father in heaven and say, I'm going to be like you. And before they've even done anything right. Do you know how many times we talk to our kids and tell them how wonderful they are and they have not even done anything except be a pain? There's a little bit of fun out of it. Are you there? You keep sowing. You keep sowing. Here, the first title of this message was, A Wise Dad Can Make You Glad When You've Been Bad, Mad, or Sad. And I thought that was too overwhelming. So, but that was my working title. But now it's Give the Gifts the Father Gives. And Peter thought he could do it. And this is what Jesus said to him. Look at this, guys. Last verse on your paper. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, everybody said, strengthen your brothers. It's not what you did on your own strength where your strength comes from. It's when you didn't have the strength and you submitted to God and then the strength came. That's where your strength comes from. And we have an ability to strengthen one another with the very things that we were helped with by God. Comfort one another with the comfort wherewith we've been comforted. And can I just invite you, let's just don't play patty cake with the world. Amen? Getting so close to all the worldly stuff, let's just walk along together. I'm kind of done here, but let's go ahead and put our heads, set our notes down and lift our heads to the Lord. Father God, I ask you to come and touch your children. you whispered to my heart one day, you said, I like you. And I want to ask that you would just whisper that. Lord, cause the same thing to happen to me, to happen to someone here that just don't even know. That you'd whisper things like that. That they'd cause a supernatural help to come into their heart. Where a father was deficient and did something like in my life, where you taught me the pathway of forgiveness and I'm not bound by that anymore. I don't have the hurt of an earthly dad's mistakes in my heart anymore. I have memories, but I have blessing there instead. And a way to strengthen other people. I pray for that. That there was, we would be rich in forgiving. Rich in that level of strength. Rich in what Jesus came to give us. Rich, rich, rich. Rich in the fullness of the Spirit. Rich in the things that cause life to really work and bring abundance. Hallelujah. And I don't know if we're going to have those come up on the platform here. They're going to be praying, have prayer available after the service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How are we doing? We doing all right? How many of you feel like God's been doing something in your heart today? Amen. I love it when Jesus does stuff. Can I tell you a secret? He makes me look a lot better than I really am. I just love that. He takes somebody who hardly knows anything and has them talk about something they hardly know anything about. And then, because he's eternal and everybody that knows him is just a little shaver, in the presence of the Ancient of Days, you and I are nothing but toddlers. If we want to learn who his heart and come to know him in the midst of a world that is actually standing against him in every way. And there is no refuge out there. There's one refuge. His name is Jesus. There's one comforter and one God Almighty. And every single person in all of human history will stand before him and give an account of their life. And listen, I'm not about having a circle and say everybody believes like me is in the circle and everybody who doesn't is outside the circle. I don't have that stuff. This is what I have. There's Jesus. Are you heading toward him? If you're heading toward him, let's walk together and let him do the things that Jesus does in the lives of people to help them get where he wants them to go. Amen. Let's praise him. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand together for a moment. Thank you, Lord, and let's do applaud him. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we say and declare to you, Father God, happy Father's Day. We bless you, Lord. Bless you, Father God. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.